way that he sees is holy and acceptable. When we make plans to go do something with someone special, do we not think about things before? Like what we're going to wear, how we're going to act, where we are going to meet? It should be no different when it comes to worship. We should be thinking about it beforehand. Teachers, preachers, and the leaders know especially the importance of having your stuff together beforehand and having your minds prepared so that when you get up here, you can say what is holy and acceptable to God. You cannot replace good preparation, and this applies to all worshipers. Now, before we go any further, let's look at the basic idea of worship. The basic principle of worship is to revere, to bow down to, or to pay homage to one another. Psalm 2, turn with me there if you would. Psalm 2, and we'll read verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Worship is something that we must do at all times. If you would also turn with your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 15. Hebrews 13, and we'll be looking at verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll read verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer up the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We are to continually offer ourselves up as sacrifices, worshiping him at all times, with the fruits of our lips, giving praise and glory to his name. It's not just when we're here on Sunday, it's at all times. Now let's look at some things we should think about when we say that we're going to worship. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 19 and go through 21. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And now just a few pages over, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with the grace in your hearts to the Lord. These are some of the things that when we speak of worship, we should be keeping in our minds. We'll go into more detail on these verses later. So for now, let's just continue on. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4 through 5. You don't have to turn there. We're just going to briefly be reading it. As you come to him, a living stone, rejected by people, but chosen and honored by God, you yourselves, as living stones, a spiritual house, are being built to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable through Jesus Christ. We are to be living stones continually to Jesus, bringing worship to him. But worship can be done in vain. Something that we talked about this morning in our class, actually. So if you would, go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 25. We were talking about, briefly, we were going through some of the kings' lives this morning at the beginning of class. And this was Amaziah. We'll read verses 1 and 2. 2 Chronicles 25, beginning in verse 1. Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a loyal heart. So if we're going to come here on Sundays, a reason that it is important to be prepared is so that we might have a loyal heart. If you're here during the Lord's Supper, and you know what you're supposed to be thinking about, It's the one thing that we come together to do, or the one thing we're commanded to do. And if your heart and mind are on other things, you're doing it in vain. There's no reason for you to be here at that point. Go to Matthew with me, if you would. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We need to make sure when we're preparing our minds for worship that we're not coming in vain. We need to have our focus on the Lord. But now that we've looked at the basic idea of worship, let's talk about why we need a prepared heart. Of course, to go along with what we said in Matthew chapter 15, we don't want to come here with a vain, empty worship. But turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians 11, and we'll read verses 27 through 29. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This goes back to the continuation of the point of not worshiping in vain. This is why we need to have a prepared heart. We don't want to come here and still be living in the sin that we were just a few minutes ago. We need to come here prepared and focused on what God has told us to come here and prepare to focus on. Preparation starts at home. So this the topic I got was from Doy Moyer when we had a class with him a couple weeks ago at the end of July at a camp that I attended. And here's some of the examples that he had shown to us of how to prepare at home. So the night beforehand, and there are obviously exceptions, but the night beforehand, does it really help you if you're gone and you're getting home at 12 at night, and you're coming home, you're getting like 3-4 hours of sleep, and the next morning you're waking up, you got 5 minutes to get ready and you're coming to church. Is that edifying? Are you going to be ready when you come to church? No, you're still going to be half asleep. You may even be late, a distraction to others. The night before, it's smarter to come home earlier. Have time to prepare your mind for the next day. Think about what you're about to be doing. You can study, you can pray, get together with your family, have some time, pray with your family. That's something my family's been trying to do recently, is have time every day where we pray together. And that's very important when preparing your mind for worship. The morning of church, do you wake up? Are you all arguing? Is that edifying? If you're on the way to church, you're not talking to each other because you're not happy with one another. Does that help you? Are you thinking of church when you get there? Are you thinking about the worship that you're about to be doing? No, you're thinking about whatever it was you were talking about with your family. That's why it's important when you wake up in the morning to speak to each other in a loving manner. Study, pray, which goes into the next example he used. Personal prayer time. In the mornings, when you wake up, what's the first thing you do on Sunday morning? It could be anything. And it just doesn't have to be the first thing you do. But turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, and let's look at verse 23. This is talking about Jesus. He soon walks on the sea after this. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. Jesus had personal prayer time with the Lord all the time. We need to have personal prayer time with the Lord to get our mindset right before worship. Communication with God is so incredibly important when it comes to these things. Now that we've talked about a little bit about preparing for worship, let's talk about participating in worship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works. A big part of worship is each other as well. If we go back to Ephesians chapter 5 and read verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and melody, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. A part of participating in worship is worshiping with your whole heart. We've talked a little about how to prepare your heart, but now we've got to worship using our whole hearts. Using this example in Luke Moyer's class, Doymar's son, he talked about edification in singing. When we're all singing together like we did tonight, do you not feel lifted up? Do you not feel like we are united together? That's a big part of worship. The most important thing is to praise and glorify God. But we can do that with one another. So let's do that right now, actually. Open your songbooks, or I think we'll have it projected on the screen, to number 21. Number 21. Praise the Lord. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. But let's sing it to praise God with our full hearts with one another. Nodo sol.
Praise the Lord.
God doesn't care when you're singing a song if you have the best voice. Because if he did, I might be in some trouble. He doesn't care if you can sing loudly, if you sing quietly. What he cares about is that you're singing with your heart. When you're worshiping God, he wants you to worship him with your full heart. And to do that, you need to have the preparation to worship. And you need to have your mindset correct when you come to church every day. If you would like to be a participant of the worship that we have with one another to the Lord, or if you feel like your mind's been on the wrong type of things, if you have not been as focused as you think you should, if there's any way at all that we can help you tonight, we encourage you to come to the front as together we stand and as we sing.